Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Monday edition of the program. Glad you're with us. We start another week out, and you think ahead, we've got IU basketball coming up Wednesday. Indiana football continuing to have success. They go on the road, a tough environment, a pretty good Wisconsin team, and they really played Wisconsin style of football and came out with the win, and all of that being done with Jack Tuttle as a starting quarterback. And, of course, high school basketball continues. Excited for this week. Friday night, we have our first big rivalry game of the area, Floyd Central and New Albany. So that's always fun to talk about. And just plenty to get to. Sports from a Southern Indiana perspective, lots of Indiana basketball. We've talked more IU football, and we're going to continue to do that, obviously, than we ever have. So from IU and Southern Indiana, we've got you covered. And don't forget, if you can't join us live at 11 o'clock, you can always find a podcast of the show. We're available on Apple Podcasts. We're available on SoundCloud. And really any place you may look for podcasts, you'll find us there. But glad you're with us no matter how you're listening. And welcome into this Monday program. Let's look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines coming up here in just a few moments. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Coming up later in the program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He always gets us going on Monday with a look at what's on the table for Indiana basketball and football. And again, we know Indiana football coming out of a big weekend, a big win. They move up again in the rankings, both the AP and the coaches poll. More on that coming up in just a moment. And getting a step closer to even bigger bowl games. And it's going to be real interesting as Indiana continues to have success. What happens with Big Ten football as a whole as far as the championship game, and there's some scheduling, really nightmares that are happening because of COVID cancellations and problems. So we'll cover that and more with Zach, and then, of course, we'll get into basketball and start to look ahead at the Florida State game on Wednesday and where that stands, and, of course, Zach's thoughts on the team through four games, three at the Maui, and, of course, the Tennessee Tech game to start the season. We'll do that with Zach later in the show. Chad Gilbert's with me. Chad and I always talk local sports, and it's hard to get us away from high school basketball at this time of year, but we'll talk about this past weekend in high school hoops. We'll talk about Silver Creek. They're off to a nice start of the year, but, you know, I mentioned New Albany and Floyd Central Friday. That's a good one, but there's also a huge game for Silver Creek coming up on Saturday, and Chad and I will talk about that as well. We'll talk about Trey Kaufman and some other things. You know, Jeffersonville's on a quarantine. They still haven't played a game. Very interesting to see. And again, we expect other teams, they have and will be shut down this season as well. But, you know, those players, and I know Coach Grant's really wanting to get things started at Jeff, but just haven't been able to because of some COVID situations. And so that's just kind of where we're at this season. We know that. We respect that. And I think that at least when I go to a game, went to the New Albany Bloomington South game a week ago. We did it here on the Big X. I went down to Castle Friday. We had Castle Floyd Central, my first look at the Highlanders. You just really appreciate the chance to be in the gym. And, yeah, it's different. Yeah, there's not many fans in most cases, and sometimes there's no cheerleaders and band and some of the other things that go on, but it's still appreciative to be in a gym and get to see these student-athletes that do it at such a high level play basketball. Let's hope that that continues, and let's hope that Jeff gets back out there as soon as they possibly can. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, two, and three, that's the lineup for today. And don't forget, at Honey Baked Ham, you can check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service it's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Trace Jackson Davis, no surprise here. He's been named to the 50-man watch list for the John R. Wooden Award, and he's averaging 21.5 points so far per game this season, 7 rebounds as well, and he's been named to the watch list so far this season for the Carl Malone Award, the Naismith Award, and the NABC Player of the Year. And again, he's got all the hype heading into the season, and he's had a pretty good start to the season, but it will be interesting to see Trace Jackson Davis if he can carry the banner as we all expect him to do, if he can raise the bar individually as well on this season for himself and become even more of an NBA draft prospect, maybe even as soon as the completion of this college basketball season. One other IU basketball note, this is basically recruiting, but Parker Stewart, he's going to be a graduate transfer at Tennessee Martin. He's down to 4 schools. Last year, he averaged 19.2 points and just about 4 assists per game for Tennessee Martin. He's down to IU, Memphis, Arkansas, and Kansas State. And I think it's a possibility that he could join a program because of his situation as a graduate player, could join a program this season. And that would come at the holiday break, at the semester break, obviously. Now, the interesting thing on Stewart, and this is really heartbreaking, his father was Coach Stewart at Tennessee Martin that died unexpectedly back in November. Just a terrible situation. A young guy, a former player himself, seemed to be beloved by everyone at the school, by everyone in that conference, and a lot of people that had crossed paths with him in college hoops. But he passed away unexpectedly, and Parker Stewart transferring and wanting a fresh start, it looks like. So Indiana, Memphis, Arkansas, Kansas State. And again, interesting that it's a possibility he could use his eligibility in the second semester coming up and join someone in season. He would be, I would think, a nice pickup based on what he was able to do at Tennessee Martin for someone. And again, he's got high major programs that are wanting him to join, so we'll see where he goes. Also, as far as college hoops goes, kind of watching this COVID stuff, we mentioned Jeff and how it's affected some high schools and some coaches and other people locally, but Gonzaga, the latest to pause, or one of the latest, I should say, to pause team activities through December 14th, that's going to cancel or postpone the next 4 games on their schedule. So they're going to lose 4 games in a 7-day period when they are off. Also, Connecticut, they've postponed their opener and conference play against St. John's on December 11th, and they have also paused. I think this is the second time that UConn has paused because of COVID-19-related concerns. So, again, it's affecting college basketball at all levels across the country. IU football, some definite headlines there. Of course, first, we've got to pause. What a win for Indiana at Wisconsin. We're going to break it down a little bit more as far as the new quarterback and some of the other things to talk about with Zach Osterman in the next segment. But once again, kind of a memory you take with you from this weekend watching IU football. It's really not a certain play on the field or even a certain player on the field for Indiana. It's kind of the team and how they play together and how it just seems to work out for them. But the memory I take from this Wisconsin game is, once again, their leader, Coach Allen. He's standing in the end zone. He's doing a socially distanced interview with one of the reporters from the television station immediately after the game. And as all the players are running off behind him to the locker room celebrating their win at Wisconsin, so many of them, the majority of them, made their way over while their coach is on national television to hug him, congratulate him, and you even had players yelling into the mic as they went by, National Coach of the Year, you know, just getting all sorts of praise. And I think a lot of teams that are winning, that are having success, they love their coach and they get along well. I don't mean that's just a rare thing, but there are problems in teams. We recognize that from pro teams all the way down to youth sports. But clearly there's a love here for Coach Allen. And as this unfolds on television once again, after another big win with Indiana, again, it was labeled an upset, even though they were the higher-ranked team, because Penix out and a new quarterback and playing on the road at Wisconsin. It's a Wisconsin team we think's pretty good but hadn't played a lot of games. They go to 2-2 after the loss. But it does nothing more than all this celebration and praise from his own players and praise from the television commentators and other national media, it does nothing more than help build this Indiana football program and the recruiting base for the future. And as I'm smiling, watching just a really joyful moment between the team and their head coach as they exit the field, it's hard not to think in the future, thinking ahead, that this is really going to help Indiana football. And I've said that almost each week, that Indiana's had one of these kind of signature victories, or that Coach Allen has made some great appearance, or maybe one of his locker room videos. And Indiana's recording those. Their marketing people are getting in the locker room recording these videos for a purpose, for a reason, because they want to share this great speaker, this great leader that they have to the world. And they know as well that it's helping lock in fans and ticket sales when hopefully you get there next year and there can be normal fans at games and tailgating once again. But also, most importantly, for the future success of the program, all of this sort of stuff that I've mentioned, it helps recruiting. And I'm telling you, I don't know anything about football recruiting like I do basketball. Very little. And we have guys on to talk about that, because I lack the understanding, the knowledge, the connections, and so forth. But I can tell you, Indiana's going to get some big-time recruits this offseason. Just wait and see. I don't know anybody in the pipeline, or I can't give you a specific example or an in-state player that Tom Allen's going to be able to flip or whatever the case may be, but it's going to happen. He's going to get some big players locally and beyond. That's going to happen because of Indiana's success and because of the PR, the media, and the just the way that he's become almost a, I don't want to say a legend, but he's become a figurehead, a leader in every sense of the word for this team. So interesting to see what happens even in the offseason. I know we want to get through this season, have a lot more fun, and get to a bowl and all that, but going to be interesting to see and follow this program into the offseason as well. Also, IU football up to number 8 in the Associated Press poll. They're number 9 in this week's coaches poll. They're up in both polls from their ranking last week. And that's kind of some IU football stuff. I'm skipping around here, but Cincinnati Moeller and Logan Duncombe, they won a big game over the weekend. Duncombe had a game-high 24 points. He's had some big numbers so far to start his senior year. And also high school basketball locally, I mentioned I got a chance to see Floyd Central on Friday. We had the game against Castle here on the Big X. Jake Heidbreeder got his senior year started off really about what you would expect. He had 32 points, I believe it was, for Floyd Central, and really helped them on the road against the Castle team as they – it was the opener for both games. But as both of these teams get some games under their belt, they're both going to be very good 4A basketball teams this year. Isaiah Swope leads Castle. He's a prolific scorer. We saw that he had 24 of their – I don't know, at one time like 32 points in the game. He finished with 33 points in the contest. Floyd Central got the narrow win on the road. But Heidbreeder opens up the year. Floyd is big. They are long. That's kind of become a style for them, and they've just been lucky enough to be graced with some big players. Caleb Washington did not play. It sounds like he's expected back this week. Brady Moore looked good, and the Highlanders have some things to figure out, but they're going to be in the race this year. There's no question about it. They are going to be a team from the area that has a chance to win a sectional. I think they'll be one of the teams I would expect to be at the front of the Hoosier Hills Conference. And I think that question mark is Jeffersonville. We just haven't seen them yet. We know New Albany's got good guard play. We know they've got a chance to be very solid as well. But Jeff is kind of the big question mark in that 4A Hoosier Hills Conference Seymour sectional equation. Silver Creek continues to roll, and they really get a challenge coming up this weekend. On Saturday, they'll play in the Forum Tip-Off Classic at Southport, and they'll take on Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian, which features one of Trey Kaufman's future teammates and Caleb First at Purdue. And that should be a great matchup. Basically, you're getting the number one 3A team against the number one or one of the very top 2A teams in the state of Indiana. When they played a year ago, it was a great game. No reason to think it won't be a great game again this season. So we've got some really good games this weekend. If you're a high school fan, get out if you can. If you can get a ticket, if you can't, there's ways to listen, to watch. New Albany hosting Floyd Central on Friday. Going to be 1,000 tickets for that game. A lot of those are New Albany season ticket holders. But I think Floyd Central has a very limited number of tickets that are going to be on sale at some point today or this week. It's going to be a hard ticket to get. If you're comfortable coming out to a game and being safe and socially distancing, it's one that you don't want to miss, and we'll be there for the call of that game on Friday as well. But should be a good one. I think it'll be a very competitive game. I think Floyd Central the favorite, I would say, based on what I've seen from both New Albany and the Highlanders so far. Floyd did come back Saturday, played again against Clarksville, got a second game under their belt. It was a blowout victory. I think Clarksville's still pretty shorthanded with some injuries and some other things, but should be a good one Friday. And then that Silver Creek-Fort Wayne-Blackhawk Christian game, it should be excellent on Saturday as well. In fact, that entire Forum tip-off event should be excellent as well up at Southport, and I believe it is closed to the public. So if you're not a parent of a Dragon, you're probably not going to be able to get a ticket into that event, but it should be a really good contest. There's no question about that. That's our Zaxby's headlines for this Monday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break and come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll start with IU football, the win at Wisconsin. We'll get into IU hoops as well. They have a game scheduled for Wednesday against Florida State. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins. We talk IU football and basketball with Zach each week to kind of kickstart things from an IU perspective. And I want to start with this, the big win at Wisconsin. Jack Tuttle taking over the starting quarterback slot this past weekend, and Indiana records a very important and a very good win on the road at Wisconsin. What's your initial reaction to Tuttle's debut as the starting QB for Indiana, and the hope that this football program can continue its momentum this season the rest of the way in their Big Ten Conference schedule? I think he made a big step forward, a big statement in that game on Saturday that can happen.
Yeah, you know, I think to Tuttle, obviously it wasn't the most prolific performance in the world. 12 of 23 for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. But I thought the performance, watching the performance, you could see that statistics didn't tell the whole story. I thought he was poised. I thought his command of Indiana's offense was good. You know, it didn't feel like Indiana was asking him to do anything he wasn't comfortable doing in the pocket, particularly some of the throws he was executing. And I think that's important because, you know, one of the questions you always ask when there's a quarterback change is, especially, you know, sort of an unplanned one, is, you know, just how on script can the quarterback and the offensive coordinator be? Well, I think you feel good about the way that sort of Nick Sheridan and Tuttle kind of linked up in that game. And I thought Tuttle's performance, you know, kind of, it certainly wasn't the only one, maybe not even the most apropos one, if you want to say, but I thought it typified, frankly, the way that Indiana played overall, just very steady, very solid. This wasn't a game where anybody, you know, there wasn't a 100-yard rusher. I don't have my box score in front of me. I think Graham Mertz finished with slightly more than 200 yards passing, but there was really never a moment when you felt like Mertz had taken over the game. If anything, quite frankly, I think if you watched that game with a critical eye, you would say Tuttle was a significantly better quarterback in that game than Mertz. And Indiana made the plays that mattered. You know, Tuttle didn't turn it over. Mertz did. Tuttle took fewer sacks. Tuttle threw 2 touchdown passes. Mertz took Wisconsin into the red zone, I think, 3 times and couldn't get into the end zone. And please understand, I'm not picking on Graham Mertz. I'm just saying, I think Tuttle's performance really kind of embodied just a solid, steady, confident, assured overall performance from Indiana in a game that, you know, if you start tugging on the threads of, well, what if this had happened? What if that had happened? Alternate reality sort of stuff. I think there's a lot more outcomes that actually are heavier Indiana wins than they are Wisconsin coming back.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Is this – we know this football team's headed to a good bowl opportunity. It appears that way. Are they possibly in line for a New Year's Six Bowl?
Yes. I mean, the answer is yes. And obviously the bowl projections, broadly speaking, and we can get into this if you want, it has layers. The New Year's Six stuff that I imagine a lot of IU fans may only be sort of casually familiar with. I'm not being flippant. They just haven't had reason in the past to pay close attention. But a lot of the bowl projections, in fact, I think all the relevant major ones had Indiana in the Fiesta Bowl after last weekend. And I would say that it would take an extraordinary set of circumstances surveying the playoff rankings field right now for me to see Indiana outside the college football playoff top 10 if they win out, if they beat Purdue and then they win their crossover game, whatever that is. And if that happens, then I think they're going to be in the top 10. And if they're in the top 10, it is awfully hard at this juncture to see, if not, you know, frankly, close to impossible to see them not in the New Year's Six. And like I said, we can get into the workings of that if you want. It is kind of complicated, and I know I tend to run on in some of these answers. But I think that the shorter answer to that question is yes, absolutely.
And again, rising in the rankings after the win at Wisconsin, and probably the best takeaway from the weekend, once again, you don't want to take away from the players or the athletes. They're the ones that get the job done on the field. But another moment captured on national television, Tom Allen's doing a socially distanced interview in the end zone. The players are trotting by, running by, going back to the locker room. And you can just tell there's a real love affair among this team and between its players and head coach. And it's all captured on television again. And this is going to have – it's fun to see. You got a smile on your face when these moments happen. As somebody that maybe is a fan of the team or that covers the team, it's neat to see. It's different to see in sports these days. But I think we know, and a lot of listeners know, that this is going, that type of stuff is going to help this football program grow and grow and recruit in the future.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's absolutely the case. And I think it's good for recruiting. I think it's good for momentum and morale and different things like that. And, you know, at the same time, it strikes me, and this is maybe a broader statement about Indiana's season, but, you know, when I do radio interviews elsewhere on the conference and things, I hear people sort of say, you know, boy, you know, isn't this season just kind of magical for Indiana? And it kind of comes back to this, you know, the same point I raise when people call the defense opportunistic. This really, you know, the sort of late dramatics of the Penn State game aside, this hasn't been magic for Indiana. Indiana's not living a charmed life here. They beat Michigan straight up. They beat Michigan State straight up. They beat Wisconsin straight up. It's not like we can point to a series of, I mean, really, if anything, it's been a somewhat undramatic season. Again, you know, the Penn State finish aside, you know, Indiana's been winning these games convincingly. And Indiana has been winning these games, not with some, you know, heretofore unseen scheme, some wrinkle that, you know, like I think, for example, about the way that Georgia Tech kind of had success in Paul Johnson's first two or three years in the ACC, just because nobody'd seen the option before, really, and it took them a few years to figure out how to defend it. It's not like that. You know, Indiana's just winning a lot of these games because they're the better team. And I think that is, you know, I think that on the one hand, I mean, look, Indiana undeniably has kind of captured at least some portion of the college football consciousness this season. But on another, I think that in some ways, I think people are starting to become more impressed, at least as I sort of digest the national response to Indiana with this season, because it isn't, you know, a series of last second wins. We're not talking about, you know, one or two just incredible players that are making all the difference in the world, you know, because of their individual talent. It's, you know, Indiana as a collective is just winning these games because they're better. And I think that's much more impressive than, you know, the alternative, frankly.
Zach, let's switch to basketball for the rest of the segment. Indiana has a big one coming up, part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge on Wednesday. when they play at Florida State. And the Seminoles finally got a game in. They're going to go into this Indiana game with just one contest, an 86-58 win over North Florida, which was a game from last week. Probably hard to really, and I'm sure hard for Archie Miller and staff to scout and break down much film. Normally at this point you would hope to have two, three, maybe four games of an opponent you're going to play, so they'll have one film to look at, and they'll be able to go obviously on things from last year and returning players. But it's really hard to know a lot about this Florida State team other than kind of who's expected to be their big dogs and their returners, because they've only played one game against the mid-major.
And it's going to be that way for a while. You know, I don't know what the right approach is for an Indiana, for any team, you know, right now. And obviously Florida State, I don't believe, has had a shutdown. I don't know if they've been affected by other shutdowns, but I think they at least, you know, this is just kind of where they are in their schedule. But I really don't know, you know, where you start in terms of, I mean, I felt this way trying to sort of diagnose the matchup with Texas. And, you know, I was looking at the numbers and the individual matchups and the players, and I remember coming out of it thinking I could literally see almost any result here. You know, I don't know if I trust Texas not to hold on to, you know, not to turn the ball over, but the flip side is they're so athletic and long. Of course, we see what happens, not just in the Indiana game, but the fact that Texas comes, you know, goes on to win the entire Maui Invitational. But this is just kind of where we are right now. And, you know, I think there are certain things, you know, and you talk about a couple of them there. I think if you're Indiana, you can count on, for example, Florida State to be really tough on the glass. Again, as you said, they've only played one game, but they are first in the country in offensive rebounding percentage. They rebounded more than 47% of their misses against North Florida in their opener last week. You know, you can always count on Leonard Hamilton teams to defend pretty well, to be very athletic. I think that you are particularly concerned about that rebounding battle and that rebounding edge, because this, you know, this Indiana team that was itself so good at rebounding last year that it actually, in a lot of ways, you know, Florida State was a very good offensive rebounding team a season ago as well. And yet in that game in Bloomington, Indiana had 10 offensive rebounds and out-rebounded Florida State 35-25. Indiana doesn't have the personnel that it did a year ago, though, you know, in the post and the wings. And we have seen rebounding a little bit more of a challenge for IU this season. So I think it really is kind of hard to know. And I know there's also been some turnover in Florida State in terms of personnel as well. But I think you've really got to just go more on reputation and what you can count on a Leonard Hamilton team to do, rather than, you know, feeling like you're going to get all your answers out of film for, you know, of one game against North Florida. This is just the unfortunate reality. We've had this conversation. We've had these conversations, I should say, at times about, you know, about football games. You know, I mean, even thinking in the last week, what to make of Wisconsin. They'd only played three games, two heavy wins, one pretty ugly defeat. How do you diagnose what Wisconsin was? Well, it's going to be the same way with basketball. Even with the greater volume of games for a while here, I just don't think we're going to have a good feel for it.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, I want to give you a chance, too, as we close out, your takeaways from Maui, or from the Maui in Asheville. I need to say, obviously, Indiana had some high points there, had some questioning points, especially that game against Texas. Although I do think that Texas is clearly going to be a talented basketball team, and that loss and the manner it happened might make a little more sense as we see even more from this Texas club play. But your takeaways on what you thought, what was positive, maybe even some negative things that stood out to you from those three games in Asheville.
Yeah, I think positives, you know, number one, I do think Indiana is very, very good defensively. And, you know, at this point, when we talk about how you sort of process what teams are and what teams aren't, you know, Indiana's probably one that we can feel a little bit more confident about than the average. They played four games already this season, three of them against high major competition in a pretty competitive environment, obviously, of Maui, even though it was in Asheville. And even in that Texas game, they were good defensively. They were just horrendous offensively. like, you know, historically decades-long lows offensively. But I think the defense is legitimate to believe in. I think this is a team that will shoot the ball a little bit better than it has in the past. I think it's a team that maybe needs to be prepared to take a few more threes. This is a theory that our good friend Dustin Dupirak has kind of posited that I believe in, that it's when you're going to play these smaller lineups, you're going to put more guys on the floor that can plausibly hit four threes in a game. And so even if not all of them are shooting 41% from behind the arc, all of a sudden you're at least putting a little bit more of that doubt into a defense's mind, into an opponent's mind, in terms of saying, well, I better close him out because, if, you know, he's not 1 for 25. He can still hurt us if he gets going. So I don't even know that it's necessarily about making the threes as it is about taking enough of them. And good ones, again, the offense continues to get good looks to make opponents respect that. I think Trayce Jackson-Davis' performance in Maui, again, you know, no one is terribly surprised, I don't think, but he was exceptionally good, especially in that last game, obviously. But, you know, I would even point out that over those first two games, he has 29 points and 11 rebounds, and there's a feeling that he's not playing particularly well. And, you know, in that setting against that competition, to be able to say that about a player who averages, you know, 14.5 and 5.5, that tells you how high his ceiling is. And, of course, the Stanford game, a career performance from him. I think the big, you know, you can talk about some other things, too. I think there were some encouraging moments in guard play. Obviously, Armand Franklin, you know, and the way he stepped up with Al Durham out. The one big concern I'd have is that ability that Indiana we saw have last season, and it felt like it flared up again in the Texas game. For Indiana, if things start to go really wrong offensively, to just sort of fold, to just lose all faith in itself and all confidence in the way it's trying to score the basketball. And again, you know, you go back to that, Indiana held Texas to just a tick under 1 point per possession. Texas was only 7 of 25 on threes, didn't even shoot that well on twos. But Indiana's offensive numbers were just abysmal. They shot 25% on twos. They were badly out-rebounded. They only averaged 0.66, 0.67, depending on how you do the averages, out points per possession. And, you know, that was a consistent problem last year, especially away from home. If the shots weren't falling, if there was one of those sort of extended stretches where the offense was just sort of barren, it just felt like this team lost its belief in itself, and maybe for a while they could defend their way through it. But if it persisted, they really struggled. Now, I don't think Indiana's going to see a ton of teams this season that are as talented, experienced, and athletic and long as Texas. So there aren't going to be a ton of teams left on Indiana's regular season schedule anyway that can do to Indiana what Texas did. But I think you still look at that and you feel like in a week that otherwise felt like a real display of maturity for a variety of reasons from this team and a real suggestion that this group has grown up well together, that to me is still a concern. That can't be something that you have happen, you know, consistently again.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us Mondays on the program as we talk IU football and basketball. Zach, some interesting weeks ahead with basketball. We'll be in conference play before you know it. A lot to figure out with this Indiana team as far as a bowl game, maybe a New Year's Six game goes. And so look forward to continuing our chats. Appreciate your coverage and your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
For sure. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with our final segment of the day. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown High School Athletic Director, former basketball coach in the area, and he's the president of the IHSA Executive Board. He'll join us for a chat on high school hoops and local sports and more. Stay with us for that. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Hey, And we're back. Final segment of this Monday program as we get you back in gear for the week. Chad Gilbert is my guest as always. Chad is the athletic director at Charlestown High School, former girls and boys basketball coach in the area at Jeffersonville High School, and of course the IHSA Executive Board President for this year as well. Chad, it's great to have you with us. We got plenty of hoops going on, and I know that makes you and I and a lot of listeners happy.
Man, it's a great time of year. Teams are getting into the, you know, the meat and potatoes of their schedule a little bit. There's some outstanding matchups coming up here. You know, you talk a little bit about these things. The shootouts. There was a big-time shootout, the Ryan Owens shootout at Brownsburg this weekend. Had a lot of top-quality teams going at it. I'm not so sure, Matt, that we were scheduled at Charlestown to have a body armor shootout with some Louisville and Indiana teams together. Maybe next year we can put something big together, the Body Armor Hoosier Hills Hoops Report shootout, and really get some good teams in there. A one-day event where you kind of get an opportunity to get those juices flowing, to get in those county rivalries a little bit, but see some teams and players outside of your area a little bit, outside of your comfort zone, that maybe go on to play college and get to, you know, as you get top talent in.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we're kind of relegated in most cases this year to watching some of those things on TV or listening on the radio. And that'll be the case this weekend with, of course, the New Albany Floyd Central game. You got 1,000 tickets as it stands now for that game with limited attendance in Floyd County. But that Forum tip-off shootout, which I know is one that you and I have enjoyed a lot in recent years. And, boy, I think back to some good memories with New Albany and Romeo playing some great games over the, really all 4 years that he was at New Albany there. Now Silver Creek, a local team, getting the chance to have a couple-year run there, and they have a huge matchup in that event with Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian coming up on Saturday. So you said it right. The high school season, it's kind of been a slow start. There haven't been a whole bunch of great matchups. Some teams have had games postponed. Jeff hasn't played yet. I know we're going to get to that in a minute. But this weekend, Friday and Saturday, there are some outstanding matchups, namely New Albany Floyd and Silver Creek Blackhawk Christian, and I'm curious your thoughts on both of those.
Well, man, I think you first got to go to that New Albany Floyd game with a lot of implications, a lot of things at stake. You know, you got bragging rights, number one. You got Hoosier Hills Conference, a big game in that, number two. And number three, an opportunity to play in front of 1,000 people. Now, I think there won't be any problem with 1,000 people in that one. But if you think, by and large, what are high school basketball fans? You know, it's you get students, you get players, mom and dads, and you get old people. And with the, you know, with the COVID stuff, I'm not sure as many. When I say old people, that's not a slap to older people. That's a what it is. It's older people. You know, you're 65 and older. Those are the people that generally go to high school games. I'm not sure those people are getting out, and I'm not sure I blame them at this point. But it's something that I think you will get excitement. I think the more things go, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and those people will get back involved. Will get back involved in high school sports because they are the backbones to your program. They are the ones that make certain schools special. If you go to certain schools, you see bigger crowds there. That's the majority of them. That's the people who are there who are just fans. And that's what you need to really create that tradition and take off. As far as the game goes, Matt, I mean, I think you're going to be in for an outstanding matchup. I can't get over how impressed I am with New Albany's backcourt. But, you know, you look at Floyd Central. Floyd Central has all the tools and an outstanding backcourt as well. I know they've got some guys who haven't played. I know New Albany is excited to have that come to the doghouse. And an opportunity like this, you can rest assured B.J. McAllister is going to roll out every stop to show the Bulldogs are ready as far as honoring, you know, Silver Anniversary members, Hall of Fame members. He's going to make sure that everyone understands that the Bulldogs – That the doghouse is the home of the Bulldogs, and Jim Shannon will be ready to defend the doghouse. So that one is going to be an outstanding game. But down the road in North Harrison, you have North Harrison going against Silver Creek the same night. Now, I know North Harrison has lost Heritage Hills right out of the bat. They have been on quarantine a little bit, but I can guarantee a Lou coach team that has had a week and a half to prepare will be ready for Silver Creek. And Brandon Hoffman's not stupid. He will not overlook that North Harrison game with what he's come to this time of year. And, you know, just talking about Silver Creek real quick before we talk about that matchup with Blackhawk Christian, I think Cooper Jacoby, you know, is averaging 37-38 a game. you've got to put him in strong, strong contention as an Indiana All-Star. I mean, I think it would be hard to leave someone like that off, because what he's done with the absence of Trey Kaufman has been nothing short of remarkable. You put those two together, of course, the numbers are going to go down a little bit, but their team is going to be so much more hard to beat. Going into Saturday's game against Fort Wayne Blackhawk, I think you got individual things that are at stake there as well as the team things. I think you're looking at a first Kaufman matchup for who gets the nod on Mr. Basketball, perhaps. And then I think, again, you've got Jacoby in a position where he's playing to make a spot in an All-Star team. So it's a great opportunity to be in. Now, the key for Silver Creek is they know that in the back of their head, but they got to keep that off to the side in order to win the game. Brandon is smart about that. Those kids are smart about that. They're unselfish. I look for Silver Creek to win that game on Saturday.
Talking to Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD and IHSA Executive Board President for this year. Interesting stuff. And you, with Cooper Jacoby, I think I kind of go back to Romeo in New Albany, and I try not to draw too many comparisons like that in the area. But, you know, that team, it wasn't just Romeo. You had Sean East, and there were other really good players as well. And that is exactly the same case with Trey Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby, who, as you said, is having an unbelievable start to the year. But even other players stepping up, and you got a chance in your gym when they played the Pirates last week to see some of those other players, like Brandon Northern, who is having a great start to the year as well, and others. And that's what makes this team so deep, so special, and able to compete in two tough games this weekend, and a front runner in the 3A state championship at this early point. And I said last week on this show, I think one of the best teams, regardless of class, in the state of Indiana. It's those type. It's not one single player. It's that type of team approach they have, and a number of talented players on that roster.
Oh, no question about that. And the only reason I did not mention Brandon Northern is because he's a junior. But he's right there with anybody who looks to be an All-Star the following year. They've got an outstanding team. They play unselfish, and they do a lot of good things to make each other the best players they can be. You know, it kind of reminds me, you think about that team you had at New Albany, Romeo's sophomore year, that you won the state with. Josh Jefferson is putting up big numbers, you know, at Green Bay. You think about Rondell Moore. You see what he does in the football field. It's a total team effort. It's just not one person. And like you mentioned, Sean East and Romeo Langford, who are Indiana All-Stars and Mr. Basketball, respectively, those guys go together and they blend, you know, and they make a special team. That's not easy to do. That wasn't easy for Jim Shannon to do. That's not easy for Brandon Hoffman to do. But what is easy is you get that buy-in from those kids to believe in what your system is. You have them sacrifice for the betterment of the team. And it's almost like you say, you know, you trust the process a little bit. You play against yourself. What standards can you hold in order to make the team better? And I think that's what part of coaching that stands out more and more. With the more talent you have, the more you have to go with those little individual battles, win the game within the game in order to advance.
Chad, are you with me?
I'm with you.
Lost you here. I think I knocked a cable out or something shorted, but I lost your answer there, so we'll continue on.
I was afraid that a second that I've got so many Christmas lights up here at the house that I had a short circuit in the house, and that it was on your end, not mine.
I'm not sure exactly what happened there, but I think we've got it figured out now. Odd situation, and I've mentioned this a couple times. Again, I love Andrew Grant's at Jeffersonville. He's a great coach, and so glad to see him back in the area. But I tell you what an unfortunate way to start the season for them. And I feel sure, and it's not a positive feeling at all, that we're going to have other teams that get shut down as well. It's just a matter of when. I don't think it's if. But to get it done to you, or for it to happen at the start of the season, you get that scrimmage and you're ready to go. And I know we saw some good things there. We've heard some good things about Jeffersonville and maybe what they could accomplish, could get done this season. And then all of a sudden, boom, you can't even practice. You can't play games. And just, it's been a tough start for him. Again, it can happen to anybody. It will happen to others this season. But what a tough go of it to start things for the Red Devils.
Well, it's more than anything with that is the anticipation. You've got a new coach coming in, new players coming in. It's an opportunity to see those. I think it hurts the anticipation of the season a little bit. We're the second weekend in December, and the Red Devils haven't played yet. But again, Andrew Grant, he's no dummy. He's going to take this and he's going to go through, you know, we're fighting through adversity. We're putting this behind us. We're not going to face this COVID anymore. Let's keep battling through. He's going to use this to advantage, to his team's advantage. And the Red Devils will come out better when it's all said and done at this. And again, it's like we talked about with dealing with talented players earlier before we got cut off. Jim Shannon, Brandon Hoffman, they win the game within the game. I would think Andrew Grant will use this to win the game within the game going in, moving forward, about getting your kids mentally prepared, mentally strong, sacrificing your individual talents in order for the betterment of the team. And you look for that moving forward from these guys as they go on. And, you know, they will use every game as a blessing and an opportunity to play every game like it's your last.
Yeah, no question. It's an odd year. We know that, but great to see the season underway. And once we get to this week, you feel like the season amps up to another level as the girls continue, the boys not just underway, but we're getting some of those really good games on the schedule. Let's hope everything stays on schedule as planned. And if it does, we've got a good weekend ahead of high school basketball here in Southern Indiana, and that will be a lot of fun. Nothing better than the Doghouse on Friday night for a New Albany and Floyd Central game, and of course we'll have more on that contest later in the week, and we'll be at that game on Friday night as well. And Chad, thanks for the chat to help get us going this week on another busy sports week here in Southern Indiana.
Matt, I enjoy talking to you. Appreciate the run, and thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana sports.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, my guest. He's with us Mondays. Quite a pair. Zach Osterman on IU, Chad Gilbert on local stuff. And don't forget, you can check things out if you missed the live program as a podcast, available in Apple Podcasts and really anywhere you listen to podcasts. All you got to do is search for The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday program. Just a couple notes for this week. First off, we'll be back every weekday at 11 a.m. this week for the program as normal. And don't forget, coming up, we've got the Archie Miller Show this week. We've got, of course, the Tom Allen Show. I think maybe we got a few more listeners for that with this Indiana team playing some really good football. And then this weekend, we are your home for play-by-play here in the area. And it will all start on Friday night with the big New Albany Floyd Central contest. We'll have some other announcements about what to expect this weekend coming up later in the week. That's the show for today. Again, thanks so much for being with us, and a fun week ahead from an IU football and basketball perspective. Of course, the basketball team in action on Wednesday, and then high school stuff coming up later in the week as well. Back with you Tuesday, Greg Doyle, Mike Pegram join the show. We'll talk to you then. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.